the Son of Man came to save what was lost, came to restore life. This is exactly the theme that we had last Sunday. God being kind and merciful to the sinner. We have the story of two men who went into the temple to pray. They were both sinners. But the difference was, the one was humble, one was arrogant. One was prideful. One was addressing God, or in fact addressing himself. I am a good person. I am wonderful. I give, I observe the celebrations, I do everything right. And I am not like everybody else, especially that one. But that one could not even raise his head. But instead he struck his chest and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner." And the Bible said that he went home at peace with God. But the one who thought he was righteous, better than everybody else, he went home sad. He was not forgiven. So the point is that God forgives the sinner that acknowledges his sins. One who is humble. The story of today in the gospel, it's a continuation of that same theme. God forgives the sinner who acknowledges his sinfulness, who asks for mercy. A story of a man limited by his stature, Zacchaeus, right? We were told that he was a chief tax collector. Not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector in charge of IRS of those days. The chief of IRS here may not make a lot of money, but in those days, the chief, the head, the chief tax collector has a lot of money. Because what the tax collectors did was that if they were asked to collect $10 from people, they will collect $15 and keep $5 for themselves. In addition to the... Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, I thought I have a loud voice. So the tax collectors then, they were fraudulent. They were supposed to collect, for example, $10. And instead they will collect $15. They'll keep the $5 over in addition to the commission they will make. That's, they'll enrich themselves. But not only that, the person who is really the chief tax collector makes more from all these agents. So that he became a rich person, very rich. People hated them. And of course, for the people, Zacchaeus was a detestable creep. He was another Marcus or another Suharto. You know, those creeps, those criminals. But in any case, but Zacchaeus had a longing in his heart. He heard about Jesus, and Jesus was passing with the crowd following after him, because with all the miracles he was performing, with all the things he was doing, there was this great crowd of people following after him. But one thing was that Zacchaeus was so small. Can you say short? Okay. Or maybe vertically challenged. So he could not see Jesus enough, but he wanted to. But you know what? Nobody nothing can make it impossible for him. He was going to find a way out. And a rich man, a great man, an important person in the community, how to climb the tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus. That is what we call climbing the sycamore of grace. He climbed to see Jesus, and immediately Jesus came by. He saw, looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must go to your house today." A man making this effort, Jesus said, "I'm going to go to your house." And I went to their house. And out there, one thing you have to learn, my dear friends, when Jesus tells a story that is a miracle performed, it is pointing towards something. That a short man, Zacchaeus, was the one who made those efforts, is to tell us something. When we sin, we fall short of the grace of God, we don't see God truly as we shall see Him. But when we rise like Zacchaeus, we rise to the sycamore of grace, we see God again. We have a true vision of Him. That's the symbolism there. But again, another thing that he did was when they went to the house, he said to him, "Lord, if I have defrauded anybody, I will pay them four times over. And I am going to divide my wealth into two. I give half to the poor." Jesus looked at him with love. And I'm sure at that point, he reminded Jesus of another rich man that came to him and said, "Lord, what should I do to gain eternal life?" He said, "Keep the commandments and do this, love your neighbor as you love yourself," and all that. He said, "Lord, I do all these things. What else do I have to do? What else? Because I want to go to heaven. I don't want any stories." And the Lord said, "Okay, sell what you have and share some with the poor." We were told that the rich man, his face fell and he left Jesus. Remember, he wanted every means to go to heaven. But the problem then was his material possessions. And not that he was rich, but I'm sure the reason was because he was not sharing with anybody. Not that he was rich, but because he didn't care about anybody else. When Jesus said, "Okay, share with the poor," he said, "Oh, no, this is what I have, hoarding it, keeping it to himself, no." And Jesus said, "How hard it is for a rich man to enter into life. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into eternal life." Ooh. You will think, oh, all rich people are condemned. No. Only those who are arrogant, only those who are not humble, only those who are not ready to share, only those who don't care about other people, they are the ones Jesus is talking about. And most times, most people do that. That's why he said, if you cling to all those things you have and can't care about anybody. So my dear friends, what made this God, Jesus said to this man, today salvation has come to this man because this man too is the son of Abraham. Remember, he was a sinner before. He was a bad man. He was a creep. Right? He was such a bad person, collecting money from people and stealing from them and all that. He was a bad person. But immediately he heard about Christ and all that, he humbled himself. He came before him. He asked for mercy. He made every effort to see Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, Jesus did not go back to think about his past. He didn't go back to say, look at what he did in the past. All those things he did, all the people you stole from, and all those things, he didn't say that, but he said, this is where this man is today. I am seeing him where he is now. Salvation comes to you now. And I think he's saying that to you. He's saying that to me. What he cares about is where we are, hic et nunc, here and now. Where are you? Can you come back? It's an opportunity. The Lord does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Instead, he prays that the wicked can change and return home. In the second reading, St. Paul tells us the same thing too. In order for us to remain in the grace of God, we have to practice daily to be good people, to understand what has happened to us, what grace he has given to us, and try to practice that daily. He said that God might make us worthy of his calling, but that by our lives, we give glory to God in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So if we try, give glory to the name of Jesus. Give God glory. Every day, a daily practice. Forget about the past. Sometimes we are weighed down by our past. I have committed so much sin. I don't think God is merciful. God can forgive me. I have gone too far. No. You cannot go too far for God not to find you wherever you are. As long as you make that return and that desire. And St. Peter, writing, said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. You all have been chosen." God wants all of us. He wants you, he wants me. And he wants us to work hard to confirm our vocation, our calling. Do all you can to confirm that. He called us when we were sinners, but we can't continue sinning. We can return and come back. For as long as you practice those things, you will never stumble, because you are never alone. Amen?
Amen.
So let us pray in this Mass and ask God for his special blessings. Give us the grace of turning around, the grace of returning, the grace of knowing that he loves every one of us. What he wants for each and every one of us is for our salvation and our glory. Amen.